Thanks for taking the time to download and listen to this podcast, a football fans podcast from the people behind CelticUnderground.net. It's international weekend, and so we have a book review podcast this week with St Anthony interviewing Steve Finnan, the author behind the new book, Celtic in the Black and White Era. You'll have never seen a book like this. The photos have lay hidden in archives for 40, 50 and even 60 years. They show the great events such as the European Cup triumph in 67, Hampden and the Sun, Gil Heron's debut, the John Thompson tragedy and the Leeds United European Cup tie of 1970. You'll have seen scores of behind the scenes pictures and images of the past. St Anthony is always posting up old pictures, but this is quite unique with some images in the past. Anyway, I will leave St Anthony and Steve to chat about the content of this, and I will say there'll be no me at the end. There will be podcasts coming along soon. I know a lot of people agreed and some people disagreed with the podcast with Anthony Murray, St Anthony, and I, straight after the Ferencváros game. So two people texted me and said that they thought we were a bit harsh, and I've given them the right to reply, so we'll have that podcast on, and we'll also have the final podcast of Anthony Murray's Lifetime 11 pods. Anyway, this is Harry Brady saying goodnight and God bless, and this is St Anthony with him, Steve Finnan.
It's my pleasure to be joined by Steve Finnan, who is bringing out a new book based on Celtic photographs from the DC Thompson archive. Now, Steve and I are about to have a wee chat, and we'll just go through how the book came about and what kind of photographs are in it, and also where you can buy it. So thanks for joining us, Steve. Now, anyone who's listening to this might be aware of your name, because you brought out a few books in the past.
I do. I've got an absolutely excellent job, I have to say. I'm not swapping with anybody. My job is to create football books out of archive material, which involves me looking out old pictures from the vast archive that we've got in DC Thompson's, and I have to try and find ways to make books out of them. Now this, I have to say, is pretty easy to do. So I find pictures, old football grounds was a book I've done already, and to be honest, it was a wonderful experience. I'm looking at things like pictures of Elgin City's ground, and then going up to Elgin and talking to people and finding out things, or going to Ayr and Falkirk was a great one, and just blathering away to old guys who, there's a strange sort of fascination with corrugated iron architecture in Scotland, because mm-hmm. you show people pictures of an old ground where they used to go themselves, and honestly, the sense stare at that photo for 10 minutes at a time, and we'll say that's where I was when that goal went in, that's where I was when I saw John White make his debut, and that sort of stuff. And it's wonderful to hear. It's like football, you know yourself, football's a universal language. You sit down and you talk to people, and as soon as you find you've got football in common, you've got something to talk to them about. Even if you support different teams, you've got someone that you've got, you're able to talk to them. I mind a terrible instance, and me and my wife were got invited to dinner with colleagues of hers. So we got there, and it was May 1999, and I says to the bloke, as soon as we go in, the women go out the kitchen, they start cooking something, and I says to the bloke, how do you think Man United will do without Roy Keane in the midfield for the Champions League final that was coming up? And the boy had never heard of Roy Keane. And I was absolutely lost. The woman came back 15 minutes later, and the bloke was showing me his coin collection. And I'd been holding this 2 peseta piece or something in my hand for 5 minutes, and the only thing I'd found intelligent to say about it was, it's very round, isn't it?
I think
you know what I mean? Everybody, you can talk football, and with Celtic, when I'm looking for pictures, you keep going through and you keep finding absolutely fantastic pictures of Celtic. Mm-hmm. This is the best, honestly, the best project I've been involved in yet. And it's not because I'm so brilliant at making books, none like that. It's because the material is so good. And I reckon that's down in part to Jock Steen's his ability to give the press access to his players, access to Celtic Park, and to his training. And he would let them take pictures, and some of the pictures are absolutely superb. Because Jock knew, obviously, that he could control the press, but he had to give them stuff every now and again. But he was able to make friends with them. He was able to give them something, but they gave him something in return. And Jock used that very, very cleverly. Archie McPherson, who I've interviewed before, who knew Jock quite well, he used to say that Jock did this on purpose. He would court the press, but never sort of be too kind to them. But he got them in, talked to them, and they brought the photographers with them. And here we are 50 years later, and I'm benefiting from that. But there's other pictures. The picture on the cover of the book is Hampden and the Sun, and it's a superb picture of a football ground. But it's also, you can see the sun, the sun shining down. You can see the vast crowds that's in there. It's a wonderful picture of Hampden. But it's obviously, for Celtic supporters, such a fantastic occasion. I'm dying to see what people think of that. I've got a full chapter really largely based on this, on these photos, and honestly, some of them, they'll make you cry. They're so good. Wonderful pictures. We're going to get posters made, and I don't know if we'll be able to sell them to the Celtic shop or at the Celtic festival perhaps, but they are so good. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it deserves to be blown up and used somewhere. I'll maybe donate them to Celtic and see if they can use them in the stadium somewhere, which, again, that would be magic if they do that. I'd really enjoy to do that. But they're such great pictures. One of them, Neely Mochen, challenging the keeper. You can see the park behind them. It's all kind of slightly out of focus, and it just looks beautiful. Honestly, this is a Celtic picture that will go down in history. It's, you can sit and look at it for hours and see different things in it, different players in it, what the North Stand looks like, what the tenements behind what is now became the covered end was like. And it's just, it's a thing of beauty. It's like a work of art. You can sit and you're stirred by it, whether you're a Celtic supporter or not. You're stirred by pictures like that, and it brings back, I'd love to have been somebody who was, I'm just too old to have been around in those days, but I'd love to be somebody who'd been at that game, and we'll get a reminder of it like that, because honestly, this is a thing of beauty. I'm going about on about this too much, but when you see it, you'll see what I mean. Mm-hmm. This has got something really special about it.
See, to put it into perspective, is it 300 photographs in total?
It's more than 300. Some of the pictures I have, it's a 320 page book, but some pictures I've spread over the full spread, and it's a big book, it's a big format hardback, weighs a ton actually, and the other pictures I've used, you know, just headshots of people training, or four or five pictures. You remember the time Jock Steen had been away from Celtic Park in 1972. He'd had a heart scare and he'd been in hospital, but when he came back, he sat in the stand. But I'd used a collage of six or seven pictures of that on the one page, because he gets a standing ovation as he makes his way to his seat. So for that one, I've given that, you know, lots of pictures on the one page. There's a couple of, I've got a whole sequence of pictures of George Connolly playing Keep You Up, and it's one of these decisions you've got to make when you're thinking, like, how will I use these pictures? Because you've got George at Celtic Park, and there's the wide vista of Celtic Park behind him. But on the other hand, I've got a good dozen of these pictures. So what I've done is I've spread six or seven pictures across the spread. I'm doing, you know, keeping up with his head, left foot, right foot on his knee, that sort of thing. And again, it's not actually the Dynamo Kiev game. This is 14 months before that game, because well, word got out. As soon as they signed George Conley, word got out, well, wait a minute, we've got a once-in-a-generation talent here, and invited photographers along to watch him doing this ball juggling. And honestly, the pictures I've got, he's a skinny skelf, but he's you can see how good he is. He's got the ball under control all the time. So those ones I've spread over, like I say, six or seven pictures on the one page. So I reckon there's probably around about 340-360 books, pictures in the book. I've never actually counted them, you know. I keep getting stuck on pages when I never get very far. I just look at the pictures and then I start to count them. Some great pictures of Bertie Auld as well. There's something about Bertie Auld that is extremely photogenic. I've got pictures on coming off after the 1969 Cup final, and he's clapping to the clouds and to the crowd, and behind him you can see Alex Ferguson still arguing with the ref. And it's just, it's as if Bertie's, I don't know, he's got that cheeky chappy grin about him. I tell you what, I've got a picture of him with a beard as well from his first stint at Celtic Park. Never seen him in a beard. And he's got on his leather pork pie, well, his pork pie hat that he wore 9 or 10 years later after the Leeds game. He's got that on the pitch. I can't find any pictures of him with that hat on between times, but here he is with that hat. But as I say, there's something about Bertie that just, I don't know if he plays up to the camera or whether it's something that just comes natural to him. Cracking picture of him. They've just won the 1966 League Cup, and Bertie gets on the bus as they're going away to the hotel, and he spreads his Celtic shirt out over the back seat so the photographers and everybody can see it from behind, that here's the bus carrying the Celtic supporters. It's the Celtic team. Again, it's just Bertie, he's got that.
Very photogenic, wasn't he? Bertie was very photogenic.
Aye. Yeah, he was. He was. The song about Bertie, as I say, that you could probably fill a book just with pictures of Bertie. He's got an expressive face, and he always looks like he's having a laugh. Looks like he's enjoying himself. Well, tell you what though, I must mention this. My favourite picture in the book is probably surprised a few people. It's Bobby Evans, and he was my father's favourite player. And it wasn't an awful lot to do really with the way Bobby Evans played, although he was a good player, a very, very good player. But my father reckoned that Bobby Evans would never give up anything. No tackle. If you're two or three goals down in a game, Bobby Evans would still be thinking, we can win this, we can do this. And my father used to point to him and say, be like him, be a man like he's a man. I've got a picture of Bobby Evans. He's running along. For once, he's got his shirt tucked in because he used to wear his shirt outside his shirts a lot.
That's right.
But he looks like a guy who would never give up. And of all the pictures, as I say, that is my favourite. I love that picture. I've got that cut out because it reminds me. My father's dead, obviously. My father's dead and gone. But it reminds me of that day, of my father, and the way he would tell me to behave as a person. It's that sort of thing. That's why I really hope people get out of it. You want to look at a picture and say, geez, I remember that. I was there. Here's where I was. I remember him saying that, or I remember him doing that. Just daft things like Jock's first league championship, the clutch at Motherwell. And there's some mental pictures of supporters on the top of the roof at Firth Park. And I've got pictures of the Celtic team in front of that. You'll have seen pictures like this, probably not this particular one, but the Celtic players, the chair that goalkeeper Ronnie Simpson off the park, and behind them there's these guys precariously perched on the roof, and you think, you're taking this a bit too far, boys. But there's boys at the lamppost, boys up there, the floodlights at that game. They said the crowd was 22,000. Honestly, it looks like a lot more than that.
Well, give us an idea then of the DC Thompson archive. What does it entail?
Right, DC Thompson's been producing the Talk of Times football book boys' magazines, with a lot of which carried sport, the Sunday Post and the Weekly News. And every time we took a picture, we kept it. And they're all catalogued away. Some of them are catalogued very well. But within there, there are, you know, hundreds of publications that DC Thompson put out. There's much more than you would expect, much more than you would think. They've owned several newspapers over the years. And every time that negative was taken, after it was taken, what used to happen was, if they wrote a game, for instance, they would take a spool of pictures and then a runner would go and take that away and take it back to the office. And the sports editor would select one or two pictures, but the rest of the negatives, they never got developed into photos, but they got tucked away in envelopes and they got put away. And honestly, there's three aircraft hangar size rooms with shelf after shelf that goes up into the up to the rafters of pictures after picture after picture. Now, they were great at keeping them. They weren't so great at cataloguing exactly what was what, mm-hmm. the way that it was. So a lot of the time you have to go in, and sometimes you didn't find anything, but a lot of times you come across stuff. Honestly, you won't see my face when I came across the Hamden and Son picture. So you're looking at that and thinking, my goodness me, why have people kept this hidden? But you find people, you don't actually know, right, what's happening here? What's going on in this picture? And because, you know, in the 1950s and 60s, my knowledge of that isn't that great. So I sort of developed a wee clique of older guys who I would take a picture of them and say, who is this? Is that Jimmy Gribben in this picture? Who's next to Jimmy Gribben? Why is he with him? What's happening here? And again, it's just like I was saying, you find people to talk to and you find that you've blathered for 2 hours, but all you've really got is, that's Jimmy Gribben. But you've blathered about football for ages, but that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I say, there's pictures from way up north, pictures of the week before the 1970 European Cup final. Jock took a full Celtic team to play at Fraserburgh, and I've got wonderful pictures of them up there, mm-hmm. and it looks absolutely freezing. I know it's like end of April, but they play the entire game, and you want to see them standing clasping their hands as they're shaking the Lord Provost's hand before they go out. But I'm hoping that people haven't seen things like that, or mm-hmm. haven't seen too many things like that.
So what era?
Pictures. Sorry.
Sorry. What era did the photos start, and where did you end? Was there a year that you ended?
The earliest ones. I reckon this was about nostalgia. The very earliest, the first chapter is John Thompson, because we've got pictures of John, pictures of the game itself and the accident itself that I certainly hadn't seen before. I've got pictures of John with his fiancée and an interview. We interviewed the fiancée's sister because Margaret was too upset to talk. But mm-hmm. she gave us a full and really a very touching interview, and I've got a picture of John and Margaret next to them. I've got his parents, and then 50 years after his death, for instance, I've got a picture of his brother, who's still got his shirt and his Scotland caps. Mm-hmm. He's an old man by that time. Again, it's a really touching picture, and this sounds daft, but it'll make sense when you see it. The Hornet magazine, comic boys, yeah. used to do a heroes section, and they've got this story of John Thompson, you know, the accident and everything. And I've reprinted those two pages from the Hornet just because it's the type of thing you grew up with, the Hornet and the Victor and the Hotspur magazine, and here's, you know, Celtic in it, and it's great. Now, I've got some very old pictures, but the aim of the book is nostalgia, mm-hmm. and we purposely make it like that. The idea is nostalgia is something that you can remember. Now, there's some stuff you've heard about, not everybody will remember Hamden and the Sun, they won't, they just won't. Of John playing for Celtic, I've got a couple of good pictures of that as well. But nostalgia, I think, is stuff that you remember, or this really, it really grips you because your father talks about it. So most of it's post-war, and mm-hmm. we've discovered with these books, with football nostalgia, is that in many ways they're aimed at people who don't buy books, but their daughters and their sons and their nephews and their nieces, they buy books. So the books that we make are purposefully
presents.
They make good gifts. Mm-hmm. When you wrap them up, it's a nabra heavy present, and it's, I tell you, it's a lot better than a pair of socks for a mm-hmm. for a gift mm-hmm. for your grandfather.
Mm-hmm. So what's the latest you got to then?
The latest, the furthest I go is John Doyle, which is just at the end of the late 1970s.
Uh-huh.
But there's not an awful lot of pictures of the late 70s. Kind of ends in the mid 70s with the wiggling of jokes. So we don't truly come into the 1970s, 80s or 90s, because I'll make another book. I couldn't get everything in it. Mm-hmm, gone mm-hmm. from the war to round about the year 2000, you could argue that's the black and white era. It would have to be in a 700 page book, and it wouldn't come out till 2 years from now. So mm-hmm. I'll do another book of the 70s, 80s and 90s with more colour, and I'll capture all the 10 men won the league and that sort of stuff. Because mm-hmm. again, we've got brilliant pictures, absolutely brilliant pictures that nobody's seen, but I just couldn't fit them in here. So
yeah.
This book is the black and white era.
Mm-hmm. So what about, I know you were saying that Bobby Evans was a particular favourite, but was there any other pictures that took your fancy?
Jimmy Johnson, I don't know if he was easily persuaded into these things or just thought it was a laugh, but I've got such candid pictures of Jimmy. For instance, did you know Jimmy was a jigsaw enthusiast as a younger man?
No.
I've got great pictures of Jimmy doing in his front room doing jigsaw puzzles. I've also got him, he'd been told he needed to bulk up a bit, so I've got him again in his front room in front of his black and white telly and his old fashioned gas fire, and he's picked up this, looks like an axle from a train or something, and he's sitting down and he's doing push-ups or bench presses with this iron axle to give himself better body strength. And it's just funny. There's Jay's sense of humour shines through in it. It's lovely. There's a draft picture I'm showing off his first ever football medal as well. I've got a close up of it. But it's really funny. I really wish I'd met Jimmy Johnson. I think he'd have been just a bra laugh. I always think that they must have persuaded him to get in that loan, though, because Jimmy said, I'll do that. Go ahead, I'll do that. As I'm looking through the book here, I'm finding pictures that, again, Gil Heron, which I'm thinking that people maybe not have seen that as well, but Gil Heron on his debut, and I've reprinted the match report from the time as well. Great picture of Gil Heron. I'm sure people will love to see that. Mm-hmm. But young pictures of Deary Hay and Louis Carey, they're just boys in it. They're just kids. Great stuff, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But tell you what, I've got an absolute thing for football grounds, and I've got a picture of Leeds United Celtic 1970 European Cup semi-final that's got a crowd in the background that is staggering. 133,000 of them there. It's a broad picture of the game, Celtic are on the attack in it, but the picture of it's the Celtic end with some of the North Stand in the back, and it is absolutely full of the gunnels.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant picture, absolutely brilliant picture. Again, you'll love that sort of stuff.
Of course, that was the European record that still stands today in terms of the attendance.
Yes.
Yeah.
That can never be beaten. There'll never be that.
No.
Ever,
no.
Ever. I've got the 1969 Scottish Cup final, that was 129,000. Again, that cannot be beaten.
Mm-hmm.
Now. Mm-hmm. I've got bra pictures of that as well, as I say.
Mm-hmm.
Great picture, actually, Billy McNeil, just scored a goal. It's at Ibrox, and you can see the crowd behind him who are obviously
excited.
Not entirely chuffed with this, but Bobby and the boys are all celebrating. Billy and the boys are all celebrating. Lovely stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, what made you pick Celtic then, Steve? But why Celtic?
Sorry, you broke up there a minute. Sorry,
sorry, what made you pick Celtic for the book then? Why did you pick Celtic?
It's an easy choice to make. I picked Celtic because the history is so, so rich, and there's so many pictures. There's so much to work with. As you go through these things, whenever you start searching through pictures in our archive, certainly, you keep coming across pictures and putting them aside and thinking, wow, I've never seen that before. That's really quite startling. For instance, the Celtic team, they come back in 1967, and they're not seeing the game, obviously, because they see the goals and the highlights in the news, but they've not seen the game the full way through. So they gather at the STV studios, and I've got pictures of them sitting watching themselves playing. And as soon as I come across something like that, I think, you know, that deserves a wider audience. I've never seen that before. I didn't even know it had happened. And when you find it, you think, you know, that's absolutely brilliant. And some pictures you wouldn't expect to really take your attention, like Bobby Lennox cutting his wife's hair, and you look at that and you think, hey God, what's happening in that? I had to go and do a bit of research and find out what was happening in it, and it's just great. And pictures of John Clark's wife, she's sitting with a sombrero on, and I actually got in touch with Marie Clark, John Clark's daughter, and she's done me a foreword talking about old photos and, you know, how it brings the past to life for her. And I've got a picture of her as a baby. She's just less than 2 years old, but she's at the homecoming of the cup at Celtic Park when there's 60,000 there, and I've got her and her dad's holding her up. It's just lovely. And Marie was so helpful, so very, very nice. I should also give a big thank you to Joe, the Celtic Wiki, who is absolutely superb. Got a lot of knowledge, had a lot of help for me, because sometimes I was thinking, like, has this picture been seen before? And I sent it to Joe, and he would say, yeah, I've seen that, or no, I've not seen that, and that guided me. Because I could have used, we've got all the famous pictures as well. All the pictures that you've seen of Celtic, all the players you've seen, all the games you've seen. But I tried to shy away and not use stuff, even though they were good pictures, because I'm thinking, nah, it's been seen before. Celtic Sport's not going to, it's not going to excite anybody just because it's just one more picture of a game that they're all conversant with and that they all know. But even things like when Celtic arrived back on the bus with the European Cup, I've got a cracking picture of people hanging out their tenement windows with flags and scarves and such like. And again, I don't know if anybody's ever seen that before. I don't know if anybody will think it's that interesting. I thought it was great pictures, people hanging out the windows and waving and everything. Just, it's lovely. It's there's a sort of, I don't know, just a community spirit with Celtic that nobody else has, that, I don't know, there's a lot of happiness in there, there's a lot of togetherness, and I mean, there's great times to celebrate, which obviously helps, but there's just some lovely smiling pictures. And as you go through the book, you'll find stuff to make you smile, and you find people and they look like they're enjoying themselves. Like I've got a cracking picture from the set of players down at Sea Mill, and when the ball went in the water, if they were kicking about on the beach, somebody had to get sent to pick it up, and as I've been told, whoever was messing about the most at training had to go and get it. In other words, it was always Jimmy Johnson. And I've got a cracking picture of Jimmy in his football boots fishing a ball out of the sea. It's just that sort of thing. It's almost nothing to do with football, but it's a picture of Seymour, Jimmy having a laugh, fetching the ball. It's lovely, honestly. It makes you smile. It'll make you think of those days and these boys like that. It's just lovely.
So you were saying you've got future plans as well for more books.
Sorry, say that again?
You said you've got future plans for more books.
I certainly do, yeah. I think the next one I'll do will be maybe be called something like Celtic Away, because it'll be Celtic playing at all the grounds around Scotland, because there's always, as you know, a huge crowd that goes with them. And I've been saving up pictures, like, here's a draft picture of them at Clyde, here's a draft picture of them at County Beef. And I've been saving these things, and some, you know, brass stuff, so I've got enough pictures, I think, to make a book of that. As I say, I will do the 70s, 80s, 90s, because I've got a lot of brass pictures of that as well. Might do a pre-war one, but some of the pictures from the pre-war era, they're damaged and they're brittle, and in the days before digital enhancement, when somebody wanted a picture cut out, they got the picture printed up, and then they would draw lines on it, and you kind of get the lines off.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so pre-war one, maybe not. It would be a slimmer book anyway, but I've just got honestly so much material that I'm busting to do this. I'm busting to get cracking. I've made a commitment that I'm going to do another Lifted Over Turnstiles books, because I've got so many pictures of football grounds that's my next project. But after that, next year at some point, more pictures of Celtic. It's just so fun to do, honestly. It's the most enjoyable job you can think of.
So tell us then, when is the book due out?
The book is to be published and in shops for September the 7th. It is big format, hardback, it's about a foot wide, 10 inches high, 320 pages. It costs $19.99. It will be on sale from Amazon, the Celtic shop, if you can get into the Celtic shop at the moment. Very quickly, directly from us, there's a DC Thompson shop where you can pre-order it, and hopefully you'll get it delivered for September the 7th, so very quickly afterwards, I would hope. I'm no expert on the supply chain, but it's the dcthompsonshop.co.uk. But if you search for Celtic in the Black and White Era, if you Google that, you'll find it.
Well, all it takes is for me to say now is to wish you all the best for the book, and hope everything goes well. And I have to say, anybody who follows me on Twitter will know that I'm quite partial to a few Celtic photographs, and I can't wait to see that this book come out. I think it sounds tremendously exciting, and hopefully it'll do very, very well for you, Steve.
I hope so. Even if it doesn't, it was still fun putting it together.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Okay, so
I
hope we can have you back on again for the second book in future.
Thank you.
Cheers. Okay, thanks then.
Thank you.
Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love.